Summer in Texas wasn't supposed to change Baya Grimm's life. After finding her drug-addicted mother dead in their Kentucky trailer, she reluctantly calls her estranged father, a man who's been little more than a 2 weeks out of the year dad. With nowhere else to go before starting college on a volleyball scholarship, Baya boards a plane to Texas, carrying nothing but a backpack of worn possessions and years of emotional armor. The contrast between her impoverished upbringing and her father's comfortable coastal life is jarring. He drives a Jaguar while she arrives with almost nothing. What begins as a temporary arrangement becomes a journey of unexpected connection when she meets Samson, the mysterious neighbor who challenges her carefully constructed walls. Their summer romance, built with a clear August expiration date, forces both to confront whether love can heal what's broken inside them. Bia's life has been defined by survival rather than living. Growing up with hunger as her constant companion, she learned early that dependency meant disappointment. At her father's beach house, she's overwhelmed by unfamiliar luxury, a bedroom triple her childhood size, streaming services she's never used, and a walk-in closet when she barely owns enough to fill a backpack. Her relationship with her father remains strained by years of absence. "You haven't been a good father," she tells him bluntly. His attempts at parenting now feel too late, though small connections emerge, like when he gives her several $100, more money than she's ever held. Family dynamics grow more complex with her stepsister Sarah, whose immediate generosity contrasts with her troubling fixation on Bia's thinness. "Your thighs don't even touch," Sarah comments wistfully. As Bia navigates these new relationships, she maintains emotional distance, a skill perfected through years of disappointment. Trust remains a luxury she's never been able to afford. Bia's first encounter with Samson is hardly romantic. On the ferry, she catches him photographing her eating abandoned bread, a habit from her years of hunger. Mortified, she confronts him, grabs his memory card, and storms off. Douchebag Blue Eyes turns out to be her father's neighbor. Their interactions remain tense. "I'm not interested, not just in you, but in people in general," she tells him bluntly. His retort that he never expressed interest establishes their mutual resistance. Their class divide emerges when Bia accuses him of not understanding hunger because he's rich. Things shift when Samson invites her to the roof of his elderly friend Marjorie's house. Despite her reluctance, she discovers a stunning peninsula view. There, he shares a story about a fisherman named Rake who wrote poetry, showing her a necklace made from Rake's hurricane-destroyed boat. This vulnerability makes Bia realize she's misjudged him, unaware of how many more of Samson's secrets remain hidden, secrets that will eventually threaten everything between them. Beneath their outward differences, Bia and Samson discover profound similarities in their experiences of loss. During a night on the beach, Bia reveals her challenging childhood, the economic hardships and social barriers she faced. Rather than offering sympathy, Samson listens with understanding, creating a safe space for her vulnerability. Their bond strengthens when Bia confides she's never experienced emotional closeness. In response, Samson embraces her in the ocean, creating a moment of unexpected intimacy that nature briefly interrupts. The relationship deepens through shared wounds. Bia reveals losing her mother, and Samson shares that his mother died in an accident when he was 5. This creates an unspoken understanding between them. When Bia describes how an older student once exploited her economic situation, Samson's genuine concern helps her reframe past interactions. Their exchange of personal truths establishes trust that transcends their backgrounds, with their wordless communication becoming the foundation of their relationship. From the beginning, Bia and Samson's relationship has clearly defined boundaries, a summer fling with an August expiration date before they head to different colleges. Samson establishes the terms. "If we do this, it stays in the shallow end." Yet their connection deepens through shared sunrises on Bia's balcony, where Samson climbs a ladder each morning just to be beside her. These quiet moments become sacred, their simple closeness feeling like explosions inside Bia. Though physically intimate, Bia refuses hugs, which feel too emotionally vulnerable for a temporary relationship. When they get matching tattoos, a pinwheel for Bia and a Hurricane Ike radar image for Samson, the permanence contradicts their supposed temporary connection. Both recognize they're leaving pieces of themselves with each other, even as Samson warns, people sometimes still drown in the shallow end. Baya's world collapses when police arrest Samson in their bedroom. The truth emerges. The house isn't his. He had no permission to be there, and the woman in the photo isn't his mother, but the homeowner. Officer Farrell reveals his full name is Sean Samson Bennett, charged with breaking and entering, parole violation, and arson. He previously served time for auto theft. Both parents are deceased. His father disappeared during Hurricane Ike when Samson was 13. His complete deception leaves Baya questioning everything about him. Despite her shock, Baya defends Samson to her father, believing his actions came from necessity, not malice. "I know him better than I know you," she insists. When Samson calls from jail, he urges her not to feel responsible and reminds her of Pennsylvania. He ends the call when she refuses to leave, unwilling to let her sacrifice her opportunities. Later, Baya finds Samson's backpack containing poems by his father from before Hurricane Ike, confirming parts of his story. He did live by the water with his father, a poet who loved the ocean he called Daria. 4 years later, Bia waits outside the prison on a perfect October day. When Samson emerges, more man than boy now, their eyes connect across the parking lot. His first concern is whether she attended college, still prioritizing her future above his own. After confirming she did, he rushes to her for a passionate kiss. His first request is to see Daria, the ocean his father named. Bia quotes one of Rake's poems, showing her understanding of Samson's connection to his father and the water. Bia has started law school, inspired by his case, while Samson took college classes in prison. Learning that Marjorie left her house to him moves Samson to tears. When he feels undeserving, Bia encourages him to accept all the good things life is throwing at you today. On their familiar rooftop, Samson whispers, "I love you," against Bia's skin. She feels her heart bone heal completely as she returns the words. Their journey comes full circle, from where they first truly saw each other to where they now declare their love. Their story embodies the book's central metaphor, that love, like water, takes many forms while remaining essentially itself. Their once broken heart bones have healed stronger, allowing them to find home in each other.